Valuable Career Lessons I Learned in Dad's Workshop, Volume 2, Be Responsible, Communicate, and Keep Learning. Written by Harry T. Roman. Narrated by Kat Lukabaugh. Introduction. This audiobook volume is the continuation of Valuable Career Lessons I Learned in My Dad's Workshop, Volume 1. Here we shall discuss being responsible, communicating, and continuing to learn. Volume 1 is already available from IEEE USA and Audible.com and covers creativity and planning ahead. As I mentioned in Volume 1, the vignettes I present here are very relevant to modern-day discussions about engineering, STEM, and invention. So try and imagine me absorbing these lessons taught by a master teacher, my dad. It's okay if you laugh. I still do today. These lessons are shared with love and humor, my father's chief attributes. I think of that basement workshop every day where I learned at my father's side. I now pass along these lessons to you to share with your children or perhaps your employees. Thanks, Dad. Harry T. Roman, IEEE Life Senior Member. Be responsible. Every single lesson my dad taught me in his old workshop had some element of personal responsibility associated with it. I can still hear Dad talking about how being able to get the family car running after a problem, say on vacation or far away from home, was a measure of a man's responsibility to take care of his family. In Dad's eyes, taking care of business around the house, doing the maintenance work, fixing the car, and repairing appliances, was all about being responsible and level-headed. These notions might fly in the face of modern family values and thinking, but they guided his and my world, and still do for me. I suspect many of my generation still think this way, too. One of Dad's favorite lessons for me involved fixing and maintaining the family car. A car is a big investment, son, and it needs looking after. Your family will someday ride in the car you buy and fix, and it better be done right, for everyone's safety. Next week, we'll be driving out to see Aunt Mary in Pittsburgh, so let's make sure this car gets there and back with no problems. We then proceeded to go over every major system of that car, starting with an oil and filter change. Then we worked our way to the brakes and electrical system. I was right there in the middle of the action, often getting under the car and making sure the jack and support systems correctly held up the car. All this checking not only made me a small-time shade tree mechanic, but gave me a lifelong reputation as a safety geek among my family members. Engines were a lot simpler back then, with plenty of engine space to fit in wrenches. They were not the crowded hood compartments that characterize modern cars. The first cars I worked on did not have paper air filter inserts. The air cleaners had a steel mesh insert that you washed out with gasoline and shook out, and when it was dry, you inserted it back into the holder. I still remember one of the most useful lessons I ever learned about older cars. Always carry a matchbook cover in your trunk repair kit. Let me explain. To properly adjust the points on your ignition and to gap the spark plugs, a mechanic uses feeler gauges. These gauges come in a variety of sizes, usually measured in thousandths of an inch. For the Chevy vans we ran, the spark plug gap was 0.035 inch, and the points were 0.019 inch. Actually, most Chevy six-cylinder and small block V8s, from say 1962 to 1974, generally used these specs. Timing the engine was a little bit more involved, but was generally given as 4 degrees before top dead center location of the pistons. Dad taught me a valuable rule of thumb, that a matchbook cover was just about the right thickness to set the points on the ignition. If I set a plug gap at about twice the thickness of the matchbook cover, it would work in a pinch to get my car going. So, in case my feeler gauges were not in the trunk of my car, I could get me and the car home. Anything that won't sell, I don't want to invent. Its sale is proof of utility, and utility is success. Thomas Edison. I used this handy heuristic on several occasions to help out friends get their badly out-of-tune cars started and rolling again. In fact, being able to keep one's car running was a badge of merit, or a rite of passage, for me and most of my friends. Nobody had money for a mechanic if you were going to school. One had to be responsible for one's actions, or lack thereof. All this car safety and responsibility resulted in some interesting inventions in the old basement workshop. Across the street from us, a nice man operated a small fleet of ice cream trucks that served local communities and sporting events. He was about to throw away an old electric motor-driven compressor unit because the truck that carried it was being scrapped. Dad retrieved this unit, and the next thing I knew, we were carrying it down to the old workshop. He proudly informed me that this hunk of parts was going to become an air compressor so we could have a ready supply of compressed air for the shop. First, we rebuilt the unit, then affixed it to a solid wooden base. During his daily lunch hour, Dad fashioned a heavy-gauge steel tank at his shop at work. Equipped with a pressure gauge and quick disconnect air hoses, we mated everything up to the air compressor. In about 20 minutes, we could charge up enough air in the tank to fill 4 auto tires. And yes, you guessed it, whenever we took our big family trip or went to the shore, that fully charged tank went into the big trunk, along with 1 or 2 spare tires. Nothing stopped or deterred Dad from getting home safely. We also found plenty of use for that tank of air down in the shop, too. You know those little battery-powered lights you can buy to keep in your car? The ones you can turn on to help find out what's wrong when you have a problem? I have this interesting homemade invention of Dad's in my garage that provides a huge amount of light. Most of the problems we encounter with our well-maintained family car usually involved flat tires or maybe a minor fix in the engine compartment. Most of the time, the engine was fully capable of running. Dad's invention was a headlight in a box with a handle and one end of the box wide open. We attached the contraption to the car's battery with 2 50-foot electric wires connected to 2 large spring-loaded clamps. And voila, we had plenty of light. You just set this baby down where you needed the light. I held it if necessary, and we took care of the repairs. We also made a push-button hot-wire switch to turn the engine over from inside the engine compartment. This invention allowed us the luxury of not having to get in and out of the car to turn the key. We made homemade stethoscopes to place against the engine's valve covers to locate noisy valves. If we did all of the things we are capable of, we would literally astound ourselves. Thomas A. Edison. I am thinking about how one of those car repair episodes gave birth 35 years later to 2 of my most complex and interesting patients. It started when Dad showed me how to check the generator output of the car to diagnose battery and regulator problems. He explained how a car is very much like a ship that can go anywhere on its own, generating energy to operate its various internal systems. This lesson also vividly showed me how a generator serves load, and as that load increases, it will bog down the engine. So engine speed must be increased to serve the load. He simply disconnected the hot lead of the battery, and I could hear the engine speed up. Replacing the lead, the engine slowed down as the engine was now charging the battery and working harder. I never forgot that lesson, because later, while working for a utility company, I learned that is exactly how a power plant works. It is basically no different than a car with no wheels. Much later in my career, several colleagues and I were ahead of our time when we patented a concept for using clean, fuel-celled power cars that could be plugged in while parked. This invention supplemented the electric grid during peak loads. Today, this concept is known as vehicle-to-grid. Another lesson from my dad's workshop come to life. Communicate. Neighbors and friends ask how I know so much about how things work and how to fix them. They often ask me how I solve really difficult problems. What is my thinking process? I'm happy to explain how I try to solve problems, and if I get stumped, I proudly tell them I ask my father. That is when I get the funny stares. They gently remind me that my father has passed. I assure them I know he is gone. But that doesn't stop me from asking for his help. Dad was a ferocious problem solver, able to get to the heart of a problem quickly. He was a superb example of how your experience can provide you an excellent preparation for a life of productive problem solving, regardless of what you did in life. Dad learned both process and content. Growing up on a farm, he had to be able to fix almost anything. I remember one particular conversation down in our big basement workshop. Dad knew full well that I would be going to engineering school. I had the smarts for the technical knowledge I would need to absorb, but he wanted to make sure I was balanced. Someday, as an engineer, you will have work crews at your command. You need to remember that they have wonderful skills and talents. And to make those attributes work well, you must be able to understand what it takes to be as proficient as they are at what they do. You sure better understand how they apply their skills. If you give wrong or poor instructions that might cause a safety problem or dangerous situation, it might cost a man his life. You certainly don't want that on your shoulders. That is why I am so hard on you about using tools correctly and all the safety down here in the workshop. Use your head and your hands all the time. There is no shame in a man having dirty hands, whether his collar is white or blue. Treat all men the same and see the problems from their sides. They will teach you some incredible things in return. This time in our workshop will give you a powerful perspective later. Tools and the proper way to use them are every bit as valuable as book learning. I can tell you, Dad was right. Every time I had work crews doing construction or maintenance for me, I was down there with them. Whether it was in a trench, inside the containment building of a nuclear reactor, or up on a roof installing a solar system. My knowledge of how to use tools and understand the problems we faced always ensured everyone went home safe that night to their families. And I made sure I let the men in my crews provide feedback on my plans for the day. If they had a better way of doing something, then that is what we did, and I grew even more experienced. When I have finally decided that a result is worth getting, I go ahead on it and make trial after trial until it comes. Thomas Edison. One time at Hope Creek Nuclear Power Plant, I brought in some robots for the maintenance crews to evaluate as possible tools that they could apply at the facility. I brought the machines in, fired them up, and said, "Here are some new kinds of tools I think you might like to try out. I believe they could be used to do inspection and surveillance in hazardous areas, but you folks live in this plant all day long, so go ahead and play with these a bit. Let me have your ideas on where you would like to try these out and any other ideas you might have for applying robots here at Hope Creek." By lunchtime, I had a pad of paper filled with great ideas that came from the people who would be using these robots. Those folks exploded with creative thoughts and application ideas. They were now part of a possible solution to their problems. I then summarized their ideas and got money to buy robots for the plant. The work crews used them whenever they could, and often very creatively. When the workers at the nearby Salem nuclear plant saw the Hope Creek crews getting robots, word got back to me via their supervisors that maybe their crews should have some new tools too. No problem. I did the same thing with them, and they got their new tools shortly thereafter. Taking the time to talk with the people, customers, who would be using the robots I was proposing, firmly convinced me that talking with customers is the first step in a successful application of new technology. See the problems from their points of view. It really does boil down to good communication. Communication tempered by understanding the whole problem from a head-in-hand standpoint. The business world loves employees with good communication skills. These skills are the fundamental employment bedrocks in the information-rich world of modern business. Any company's senior management will critically judge employees by how well they express themselves. I have seen many good engineers not excel in their careers because they could not master good communication skills. Many professions in the business world would value the same. Communication skills count as much as the technical geek stuff once you are on the job. Whenever I have a problem that stumps me, I head down to my basement workshop. I take some of my father's tools out and hold them. For me, it is a way to feel close again to him. Usually, it is an old set of wrenches we often used. I close my eyes and ask for some guidance about this problem. While the answer doesn't always come while I'm holding the tools, it usually comes within a few hours. My close buddy Wayne had a very similar working experience with his dad when he was young. When I confessed my little secret about asking my dad for help, he got tears in his eyes. Wayne told me he thought he was the only one who did that. The man who doesn't make up his mind to cultivate the habit of thinking misses the greatest pleasure in life. Thomas Edison. Keep learning. As if Dad didn't have enough skills and work to do in the old basement workshop, he went out and got some more skills. He decided he was going to learn TV and radio repair. The TV business was booming in the early 1950s, and Dad wanted in on the fun. He worked with a local fellow who taught him the basics, and then Dad went out on his own to try to establish a small neighborhood business. The old basement workshop now began sprouting electronic gear in addition to the usual workshop tools. As the sorcerer's apprentice, here is where I learned about how to start a business. Get business cards printed. Tell people who we were and what we could do. Master the fine art of talking with customers. Plan and organize work. Order supplies. Keep track of the material needs and learn lots of great real-life things I would use later during my engineering career. All of those TV repair calls made me less shy. I became able to speak to people with confidence. The communication skills I learned were invaluable. Folks would call me to the house with TV problems. I would take the phone calls, ask what the problem was, and schedule some home visits. Usually we made those calls after dinner or on the weekends. I came home from school and did my homework. After dinner, Dad and I would lug the TV repair caddy out to the car, and off we went for a few hours at night repairing TVs and other electronic gadgets. It was like having the old workshop on wheels. If we couldn't fix the TV at the house, we would take the guts out and bring it back to the home workshop for more detailed work. Dad and I traveled all over Newark, where we lived, and many surrounding towns as we made our appointed rounds. As always, there were some lessons to be learned in the traveling workshop. My job was to map out our routes from house to house. Dad certainly didn't need directions, but I needed to become well-versed in planning and organization skills. Thanks to all those nights in our old sea-green 1950 Pontiac, I can find my way all over the county I still live in. I can read a map like a trained navigator. We never got lost. During my engineering career, I had to drive to many interesting spots all over the country, and I seldom got lost anywhere. Whenever I hear oldies music on the radio, I am back in that old Pontiac, listening to the tunes and singing along. We listened to a lot of Yankee games in that car, too. In the local TV repair business, Dad and I became known as Father and Son Team. We quickly built up a reputation as a well-organized business with reasonable service call rates. When we arrived at the job site, Dad would talk with the customers while I unbuttoned the tube caddy and got the TV ready for diagnosis. While Dad was rummaging around inside the cabinet to see what was cooking, I was cleaning the tuner, checking schematics, and adding thoughts here and there. It got so by knowing the type of TV set the customer had and the problems being experienced, we could almost diagnose the problem on the way over to the house. I was the resident tube checker. I used a neat little tube checking kit that Dad had picked up to make life a bit easier. I still remember the tube numbers and what their application was. To have a great idea, have a lot of them. Thomas Edison. Especially challenging was installing TV antennas on home or apartment houses and then running the antenna leads back down to the TV sets. In many cases, this TV was the first in clients' homes. Some antenna jobs could be quite scary, trying to balance things on a slanted roof and get that aerial anchored to the home chimney. I learned a great deal about safety on those jobs and being responsible for my actions. When a TV repair went beyond our abilities to fix without sophisticated bench equipment, we had a local electronic specialty house that we could take the TVs to. There, we learned even more by talking to the electronics experts who fixed them. All this electronics experience became quite handy in engineering college. I was already familiar with much of the lab equipment, and I had made small radios and gizmos back in our basement workshop. Whenever some repair was unusual, Dad made sure I saw it and understood what was happening. No opportunities to learn something were wasted. As printed circuits and transistors began to replace vacuum tubes and electronic appliances, Dad and I had to learn about these new devices. In engineering school, my course of study was covering both vacuum tubes and transistors, so when I learned something of value to our TV repair business, I brought it back for Dad as well. Of course, he had already developed an interesting way of diagnosing bad semiconductor components. Dad would apply a spray of canned refrigerant onto the surface of the semiconductor in question, and if the problem abated, it was generally a positive test for finding a faulty component. The first time I saw him do that, he gave me this sly smile and said, "Take that back to the college labs." Dad just never stopped learning, and he wouldn't let me stop either, for which I am eternally grateful. Dad's gone now, but I have the old TV repair kit in my basement. It is a real piece of Americana. Every now and then, I open it up and use a few of the tools in my own basement workshop. It is loaded with all the tubes and components likely to be used by televisions and radios of that era. It also has a generous supply of tools we made and/or adopted for special purposes. I seriously thought about donating it to the Smithsonian as memorabilia of the birth of the television age. But sometimes when I open it and reflect on those past memories, I swear I can feel my dad's presence. How could I ever part with that? Not too long ago, I met someone from my old Newark neighborhood, someone I had not seen in 40-plus years. We were kids when we last saw each other, but she remembered me. She immediately asked, "Wasn't your dad Harry the TV repairman? I remember him fixing our set." Between the welling tears, I managed to choke out a yes. People still remember. I'd sure like to drive that old Pontiac one more time. I never saw a car with that sea green color again. I still have Dad's registration slip for it. A good idea is never lost. Even though its originator or possessor may die without publicizing it, it will someday be reborn in the mind of another. Thomas Edison. About the author. Harry T. Roman holds 12 U.S. patents and has received numerous engineering, invention, and teaching awards, and has published more than 550 scientific papers, articles, monographs, and books. In 1999, the New Jersey Technology Education and Engineering Association named him a Distinguished Technology Educator. In 2005, the New Jersey Inventors Hall of Fame honored Roman with an Inventor of the Year Award for his application of mobile robots in hazardous work environments. In 1996, IEEE honored him with a Meritorious Achievement Award for developing continuing education products for IEEE members. Again in 2006, IEEE honored Roman with an Outstanding Engineer Award. He received IEEE's 2015 Region 1 Excellence in Teaching Award. Every month, more than 250,000 educators read his feature articles appearing in various national publications. In the Public Service Electric and Gas Company's R&D group, where he worked for 36 years, Roman directed and consulted on more than $100 million worth of projects and programs. He also taught graduate-level R&D project management courses at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, NJIT. Throughout Roman's engineering career, he worked with schools around the state, bringing the excitement of real-world problem-solving into the classroom. Retired since 2006, Roman has published more than 70 resource books, math card games, and science kits for teachers, products valued for their head-in-hands approach to teaching creativity, invention, STEM, engineering, and alternate energy topics in the classroom. Roman now spends many hours in the classroom working with teachers and students in West Orange, Montclair, and Livingston, conducting special student project team challenges. He is an advisor and author to the Edison Innovation Foundation and docent and special lecturer at the Thomas Edison National Historical Park in West Orange. Roman also admits to writing and publishing poetry and short stories. For the past 3 years, Roman has been teaching graduate school at Montclair State University in their teaching college. he co-teaches a unique course about applying STEM techniques in the classroom. This has been Valuable Career Lessons I Learned in Dad's Workshop, Volume 2, Be Responsible, Communicate, and Keep Learning, written by Harry T. Roman, narrated by Kat Lookabaugh.